You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I want to mention this morning on, our obligation. I really don't have a title. I'm not a real title man. I'm more for substance than symbols, and I don't work all week on a good, catchy title. I like to get down to the meat and the substance of what we're ministering on. But it comes down to ministering to others and helping others and coming out of yourself. And I was thinking about Hallelujah Night. Hallelujah Night is about reaching out to our community. We could have left that in the church and just did it with our own people. And that's perfectly all right. And churches do that. But we decided, hey, let's make a ministry out of it. And let's reach out to the community. You know, we did that years ago, 15 years ago, incidentally. And started out, I think we had 300 and something people showed up. And we just, hey, we were in hog heaven. I thought that was awesome, you know. And then the next year, I think we had 750, and we thought, man, this is really cool. And next year, 1,500, we thought, we've created a monster here. What's the deal? The next year, it was 3,000, and 2,000 maybe the next, and then 3. Yeah, and then it just kept going, and I think it's leveled out around 2. We run 2 or 3,000, depending on the night. But it's become a real blessing to our community, and I thank God for that. We've taken something that we were doing. We did that in our in-house with our children's church before. You know, we just had our own children's church come and on Hallelujah Night, that's what we call it, and got to minister to them. We decided, well, let's just make it available to everybody, make it a little bigger. Well, it got a little bigger, to say the least, because anytime you try to help people and minister people, God's going to bless it. He's going to help you do that. In fact, if you want to be stingy, you're on your own. If you want to help people, God will help you. If you want to be like Jesus and you want to forgive and you want to improve your life, God will help you do that. If you just want to continue to be the mean old self that you are, you're on your own. But the truth is, you don't need help being mean. You don't need help being stingy. You don't need help being hateful. Are you with me? You don't need God for that. You need God to get better. You need God to love people. You need God to forgive people. You need God to improve your life. If you don't want to improve your life, you don't need the Lord. But if you want to improve your life, you need the Lord, and He is available, and He is willing, and He's wanting to help you. You know, there's no saying that says, you know, if you teach a man to fish, he'll eat for a day. I mean, give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. Teach a man to fish, and he'll eat for a lifetime. That's what God wants to do with us. He wants to mature us. He wants us to not just get a blessing, not just get blessed, get healed, whatever the case may be, but He wants to make something out of us. God is not into just blessing us. He's into making a blessing out of us. Now, obviously, we got to get blessed to be a blessing, and that's part of the equation. And we want to get healed to go out and minister healing to others, no question. We want to get on top of our lives and get our lives straightened out and back together if we're ever going to minister and bless others. But the end is not the blessing. The end is not the healing. The end is not the deliverance, the prosperity, whatever the case may be. The end is to take that and go minister that to others. It's always been that way. That's always been God's goal. And that's a question that we should always ask ourselves. Are we really helping others? Are we really ministering to others? Are we helping our family? Are we helping our wife? Are we helping our husband, our parents, our children, our community? You know, are we doing something with what we have? That makes sense to you? See, God's never interested in a temporary fix. That's not what He wants to do. It's kind of like going to the dentist. You know, you just got a tooth that's hurting. You want them to pull it and take care of it. But a dentist, he starts knocking around in those teeth and starts finding all kinds of things he needs to work on. Are you with me? That's not what you wanted. You just wanted the tooth fixed, you know. But He wants to fix your mouth completely. Hello? We got one room that's messed up, but and God would like to get into the whole house, and we got all those doors locked. See, we just want to fix this room. That's all. But God wants to fix the whole house. And that's a good thing. Amen? It's a great day when you wake up and find out God's smarter than you are. Amen? Some people never get there, but I mean, He really knows more than we do, and He knows what we should be, and He wants to make something out of us. This whole thing is about making us something better than we are, you know, raising us up. You hear about raising kids. Anybody raise kids? See, even God. Started something there. But you raise kids. Even the term raise, that means you don't leave them where they are. Isn't that right? I mean, you raise them. You teach them responsibility. And you don't just give them a fish. You teach them how to fish. Unless you're Trenton, my grandson Trenton, or Clay, which they were born knowing how to fish. I don't know how they. But, I mean, your object is not to be for them to be dependent all their lives, but you want them to become independent. And then God wants to make us interdependent. He wants us to get us to the point where we're all to work with each other. You know, and that's a good thing. So we ought to be improved. We ought to be raised up, becoming more mature. And more maturity is when you leave away childish things and you really begin to think of others and not just yourself. It's not me, but it's how can I help others? Amen. Even when you talk, I've noticed in my language, you know, as I've gotten older, and I'm not very old at all, but as I've gotten older, you know, when I turned 30 the other day, I've noticed I use the word we more than I. You know, it used to be I a lot, and or it's more we now. And you kind of realize that when you get older that you're a conglomeration of a lot of people helping you, amen, and bringing you to where you are. We're a part of each other. We're interconnected. What are y'all laughing about? Don't be laughing while I'm, okay. All right, when you laugh like that, I think I did something wrong or y'all making fun of me. And I'm, okay, all right, good. Just my wife and my daughter. I had to correct them every once in a while. But anyway, he loves us so we can love others. Think about it. Why does he love us? Well, first, he does love us because he just loves us, no question. But he does also love us so that we can love others. And he comforts us so we can comfort others. Isn't that right? Why would you have God do something in your life and not want to share that with somebody? Not want to help someone else who's going through the same thing you're going through, as it were. He forgives us so we can forgive others. We don't want to just be mean, hateful to everybody, but we're forgiven. We're just forgiven. No, we're not just forgiven. I don't like that bumper sticker. I'm sorry, I don't like it. We're forgiven. You've seen that bumper stickers? It says, what does it say? How does it go? Perfect. I'm not perfect, just forgiven. That means I can knock your head off, but I'm forgiven. Run you off the road, but I'm forgiven. Now, I know people don't mean that when they put it on there, so don't hate me if you have that bumper sticker. Oh, Lord. That's terrible, isn't it? I get up here and start talking, and two or three of y'all got that bumper sticker, and you're already mad at me. Not going to hear another word I say from here on out. I'm just talking about the truth of it, okay? We have to be careful. We are forgiven, but we're not just forgiven. We should be being perfected. We're not perfect, I understand that. But we ought to work on it. Amen? So he forgives us so we can be forgiven and forgive others. He helps us so we can help others. Think about that. Why would God help us? Because he loves us, sure. But he wants us to be able to help others. He blesses us so we can bless others. He completes us so we can complete others. You know, oftentimes we spend so much time tearing other people down that we don't take time to complete them or help them or lift them. And thank God was more patient with us. You know, it's all about ministry. It's all about, see, in one sense, we're completed and mature when we help others. We're starting to really mature when we start thinking of others. As long as we're just thinking about ourselves, we're still at a very low level or a first grade stage, as it were. And I understand sometimes we're just trying to survive, and I know that. I know we get hit, and, man, we're just trying to get out of the mess we're in. We're trying to get some help where we are. That's okay. There's no sin in needing help. There's no sin in being sick. There's no sin in being poor. I think the sin is wanting to stay there. There's a sin in wanting to stay there and not trying to get out of it. Amen? We want to get out over that and get out of that because we want to get past us and get to helping others. It's not about my four no more. It's not about, you know, just blessing us and not anybody else. It's about getting to a point where I can be a blessing, a part of the answer instead of part of the problem. I think we've become a nation of victims. We've become a nation of people that are just dependent on the government. Thank God for government. We must have government. Thank God for this country. It's the greatest country in the world. Thank God for programs that help people that really need help. And we want to help people that need help. We do that as a church. Are you with me? But I think sometimes we go so far with it, we don't raise people. We don't really try to teach people to fish. We just keep throwing fish at them. And we need to teach people that they can come out of the mess they're in, that they don't have to continually need that help. There are some that obviously do, and that's right, and we should help people like that. But there are people in your life that you should help, but you should encourage also to get on their feet. Are you out there? Yeah. Or else we'll live our life thinking the world owes us something, and the world doesn't owe us anything. Hallelujah, somebody. Man, I'm telling you, this is y'all are getting excited out here. Y'all settle down. Let me finish this message. And we see this in raising children. The whole point of raising children is to get them independent. We want to help them when they need the help, but then we want to mature them where they can get the help. You know, it's not a good thing that we have so many people on welfare today. It's not a good thing. I think it's a good thing that we're helping people that need help. But it's not a good thing that we have that many people on welfare. The figures are staggering. It'd be a better thing if we had... I'm not trying to get political here. These are religious issues, okay? I'm not trying to get you to vote for a certain person. I'm trying to bring up the campaign. These are just things you're aware of that we can relate to. That's all I'm saying here, okay? You do need to vote. Get out there and vote. But, you know, I think it's a shame that we are so dependent. We have so many people dependent. We ought to be encouraging people to go for the American dream, as it were, as a nation, as a country. And we should do the same thing as Christians, as a church, to get out of that mess you're in. I mean, come on, we're going to help you get there. We'll help you when you need help. But we want you to get to where you're using the Word and using your faith and growing in your spiritual life, and your marriage gets better, not continually getting whacked and sucker punched by the devil every time you turn around. That anger that you're dealing with, you get over it. God forgives you. We forgive you. We don't condemn you. We don't judge you. But I tell you what, you got to get past it. You got to get to where you overcome it, get to where you beat that devil instead of that devil beating you. Amen? And then go out there and help some other people that are going through the same thing, recognizing that in others, not condemning them, but recognize it because you see it in you. And you want to go help them get over that thing the way you got over that thing. Amen? So that's our goal, you know, as Christians, is we want to proceed from just receiving to giving. Isn't that right? I mean, I want to get to the point where I'm not just receiving all the time. And I've heard people say, well, I'm just a receiver. Well, I believe in receive too. I think if you doubt, you do without. I'm with that. I'm all over that. I mean, I believe in confessing and possessing. I don't believe in doubt and do without. I don't. But it's more than just receiving. I want to give. Amen? This is bigger than me. Well, I can do this and be just fine. Well, maybe you can, but you're not going to help a lot of people. That's not a great vision for your life, is it, to just take care of yourself? Look out for number one. It's dog-eat-dog world. You know, I mean, come on, let's get past that. I want to get past all that. I want to get prosperous. I want to get healed. I want to get, you know, I want to get over anger. I want to get, you know, be the man of God God wants me to be so that I can help others, so I can mentor and I can model and I can lead others. Woo! Oh, man, this is good preaching. Hallelujah, somebody. Y'all be quiet. Let me finish my sermon. I know you're excited. Now, just sit down. I know you want to run around the church and jump up and down, but let's just calm down. Let me finish my message. Jesus said in Matthew 10, I told you to turn there, didn't I? Okay, and here we are. We're there. Matthew 10. I love this. You know, he's talking to his disciples, and he's sending his disciples out here. And he says in the 8th verse, he says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Man, what a truth. Freely we've received. How could we deny that truth? Everything I have, God gave me. All my talent, all my brains, all my smarts, everything. You know, some people say, well, I'm self-made. Well, I believe you take what God has given you and you do something with it. I understand that. But whatever you have, God gave you. Amen. Amen? We have freely received, but we ought to freely give. We freely receive so we can freely give. Well, you know, why did God give me a good memory? It helps when I'm preaching and teaching. Are you with me? Amen. And I should use it to help others, not to just impress others, not to get up here and just quote list of things and let you be amazed at my intellect. That's not what it's about. And I don't know, you know, I don't have a formal education, but God gifted me with it. I do too have a good memory. Some things I wish I couldn't remember. You know, I just remember too much. Oh, sometimes you see too much. Kind of like that lady, she was in her 90s and she couldn't hear, and she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, we can fix that, ma'am. We've examined your ears, and there's just a little operation we need to do to operate on the eardrum, and you can hear, and it'll be just fine. You'll start hearing. It'll be amazing. And she says, no, I don't think I want that operation. And the doctor says, what do you mean? I can fix your ears where you can hear. She says, I'm 95, you know. I've heard enough. So. Anyway, okay, forget that. We've received so we can give. Hey, listen, this is not a standard that God put in the Bible for taxing the rich. Okay, that's not what he's saying. Everybody says freely. Freely, okay. This is not a law. This is God, from whom we all freely receive everything and all things, telling us that we should freely give. And if you're rich, you should help the poor. Are you with me? I think that's a given. I think you should. And rich people whose hearts are right do that. Rich people whose hearts aren't right don't do that. But we can't be making a law, are you with me, in our government that people have to do things that they're supposed to freely do. You know, you're going to make a law, you got to love people, you know. Are you going to put them in jail when they don't? I mean, you're supposed to love people. But that's freely given. Sometimes we have laws about things that should be voluntary and they should be free. Are you out there? See, God's telling us the right thing to do. He's not making us do it. He didn't make anybody do anything. And that's the difference between God and government, you know. Is the government wants to make you do things, and God gives you your will. There are consequences when you don't do the right thing because it's built into the system. And it'll come back and bite you, no question about it, if you don't love, you don't do the things God says to do. But God's not going to come down here and just make you do the right thing. That's called free will. Are you with me? You know, it's Ben Jonson. He was a real famous poet. He was a contemporary of Shakespeare. Everybody knows about Shakespeare. Well, little Ben, he's a contemporary of Willie, William Shakespeare. He said, where the deed is forced, the grace is marred. Think about it. If I force the deed, there's no grace involved at all. What if I made you come to church and tied you down on the front row, which I'm about ready to do that because this row is getting real empty. But then I had, you know, I had strings to your arms, and when we start singing, your arms would just go up. And then your wallet would just pop out and offer it. I'm checking into that one. I'm thinking if there is a technology that does that, I want to know it. But anyway. But do you think you'd get blessed from that? You wouldn't have any choice in the matter. There would be no choice whatsoever. And so the grace is marred because the deed is forced. I think that's what we do when we begin to make laws that force people to do things. Right? Well, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have laws. We ought to have some laws, sure. There should be some laws. But then we go too far. Hello, it's a truth gone wild. And, you know, this business of just continually forcing people to do what God says they should freely do. Even God himself said freely do it. And God will freely reward those that freely do it. Yeah. You know, there's another great quote. This is good. This is out of a book called Creed or Chaos by Dorothy Sayers, written years ago. She was a friend of C.S. Lewis, J.R. Tolkien, that bunch, you know, in that same time period, lived over there in London, that area, or Oxford, in that area. And she wrote a book called Creed or Chaos. And she says, of the money expended in charity, the greater part, for obvious reasons, is contributed by the rich. That makes sense, because they're the ones that have the money. And consequently, if the burden up to now borne by charity is transferred to the shoulders of the taxpayer, it will inevitably continue to be carried by exactly the same class of people. It'll still be the people with the money that wind up helping the poor. The only difference is this, that people will no longer pay because they want to, eagerly and for love, but because they must, reluctantly and under pain of fine or imprisonment. And the result, roughly speaking, is financially the same. The only difference is the elimination of the two detested virtues of love and gratitude. Nobody does it because they love, and nobody is grateful when they get it because they feel like it's a right. Are you with me? See, we have freely been given. We ought to freely receive. We ought to freely give. That's what our food ministry is about. That's what Hallelujah Night's about. Right. Don't need the government telling me that. God's already told me we should do it. It's the right thing to do. Right. Don't need a law to tell us to do that, to give $1 million to missions in 10 years, to give over $100,000 every year for 10 or 11 years. We've been given over $100,000 to missions. We don't need a law telling us that. We know that. Are you with me? We don't need a law to tell us to help poor people. We should help poor people. Are you with me? And we should help them get on their feet. Freely we have received, freely we have given. You know, really, I've been saved. I should want other people to be saved. I have been forgiven. I should want other people to be forgiven. And it comes down to, you know, we teach prosperity, we teach healing, we teach that God loves you and He wants to bless you and wants to help you, no question. But that isn't that an obvious thing? How am I going to help someone if I need help? If I don't get help, I can't help anybody. And that's the ultimate goal, always, is helping others. And that's a question we should always ask ourselves. Are we helping others? Are we reaching out to others? Luke 6, Brenna quoted the 6th chapter. Actually, that's the wrong verse. But anyway, Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, we both fall into the ditch. You remember that? Don't turn there. Just write down what I said. Don't put the reference down there because I got it wrong. But if the blind lead the blind, we both fall in the ditch. If you write down the verse I told you when I'm wrong, you're going to be wrong just like I am. Get it? Okay. So, but nonetheless, he's saying that if the blind doesn't get healed, how's he going to lead some other blind person? Get it? The blind doesn't get healed. You can't lead the blind person, the other blind person. If you got two blind people, you're both blind. That's deep, but you'll think about that and get it. If you're both poor, you can't help each other. If you're both angry and mad, that's why the Bible says, be not a friend of an angry man, lest you learn his ways. And he that rules his own spirit is better than him that takes a city. If you don't get over your character flaws, how are you going to help others with character flaws? You can't remove, do what? 639. That's what I had down here, but it didn't sound right. Okay, it's 6. It is right. I was right and thought I was wrong. I should have known I was right. Why I ever thought I was wrong? I don't. It's the back. It's got to be Matthew 15:14 and also Luke 6:9. 639. I got 639 down here is what I got. Okay. And Brenda said that, so you can believe that. And she got that off her phone, which is not an iPhone, so you can take that to the bank too. So anyway. But if we're going to lead, I want to lead. Don't you want to lead? Don't you want to be proactive? Don't you want to be out front helping people? Don't you want, instead of having somebody get you up and make you do something, if you're going to lead, then you're going to have to get your eyes opened. You're going to have to get help. So first, let's do come to God and let's get help. That's not selfish to want to be healed. That's not selfish to want to get out of debt. That's not selfish to want to get over these things. I've heard people say, you know, I wouldn't pray for that. There's so many other people that are hurting worse than I am. So many people that are worse shaped than I am. You know, and I wouldn't bother God. He's kind of busy. Listen, God's got plenty of time for you. He's not so busy He can't help you. He's not so poor that He can only help 2 or 3 people. He doesn't work on a quota system, okay? He can help anybody that calls on Him, and whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered. Amen? Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. He says, knock and the door will be open unto you. Everyone that asketh receiveth. Everyone that seeketh findeth. And everyone that knocketh, the door will be open unto them. And all things that you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. That's what Jesus said. I believe that He's got plenty of time for all of us. Hallelujah. But the point that we need to look at here is that if I don't get out of the mess I'm in, how am I going to help somebody else? Let's don't live that kind of selfish thinking life. Whoa. Y'all out there. Oh, I'm okay. I got beans on a table and roof on my head, and that's all a man could ever ask out of life. What about your neighbor? You want to help your neighbor? Don't you want to help your neighbor? Now see, back up. Not a sin to be poor. We've all been falling on hard times. It's not condemnation. Because it may be out here today in need. You may have needs today. Many of you may have. We're not condemning. We're saying, let's get that need met. Let's believe God and come out of that. Let's call on God. Let's get some help. Let's get on our feet. Hallelujah. Let's trust God. Let's really trust God. Need a job? Let's trust God to get a job. Let's really pray and believe God that He's going to give us favor to get work and get a good job. Are you with me? And get somebody to believe with you and pray with you. Forget about the economy. I'm talking about trusting God. Let's trust God. God can do the impossible. He can do what man can't do. He can get a job when nobody else can get a job. Amen? Okay. Hallelujah. Let's get on our feet. Hallelujah. Get help till you get on your feet, but let's don't stay there. All right. Let's don't be blind. Let's lead those that are blind. Those of us who can see need to help those who cannot see. Luke 12. Y'all write and say, oh, man, I got like 3 minutes. Are you kidding me? Wow. 3-4 minutes maybe. This helping you? Okay. Still love me? Okay. Luke 12, what was that? Did you say something again? 4 minutes worth of love. Okay, that's it. I got 4 minutes worth of love left. That's my daughter talking. That's all we got. I love you. You had better quit at 12 o'clock. Luke 12:48. For unto whosoever much is given, of him much shall be required. Luke 12:48. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. That's good. So, you know, it's good we want to be blessed, but the reason is so we can bless others, because if we've been given much, much is required. Amen? That's why our church does what we do and helps as much as we can, because we've been blessed. We've been blessed for that purpose and that intent, that we could help others. And you've been blessed so you could help others. So are you helping others? That's a good question. It's not condemnation. I love you. You know that. God loves you. And I guarantee every one of us can do better. So don't beat yourself over the head. I'm not saying that. Don't live in condemnation. If you're convicted, that's good. If you're condemned, that's not good. God doesn't condemn. We don't condemn. But now conviction's another thing. When you're challenged and you know you're not right, you need to do this, you need to do better, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing, because that means you can and you know you can. And there's hope for you. Condemnation just tells you you're no good, you're sorry, you're worthless, you hate your mama, you hate your papa, you've never done a good thing in your life. God loves you and we love you. God bless your dirty, rotten little hearts. That's condemnation. That's not right. Conviction is, you know what, you're better than this. You can come out of this. You got help you didn't realize you had. God wants to move on your behalf. If you'll call on him, he'll show up. He can help you. You can rise above this. You're not doomed to repeat this all your life. You're not a nobody. You're not worthless. You're not a no account, as it were. You're not a hateful person. You've been hating, but you can quit that. Are you with me? Whew. So, and God will bless you, and when he does, he requires of you that you go out and help others. Colossians 3, real quick. I'll close it out with this. We can't get to all these verses. I apologize for not being animated and running from one side to the other and standing up on chairs and all that, but not that I do that. I'm just saying that. I'm not feeling like running right now, so what it boils down to. But hey, it's good, man. The word's good. Amen? Amen. Word's good. All right. Notice what it says in Colossians 3:12. This is New King James I'm reading out of. It just takes out the forsooth, peradventures, and hithertos, and yea, verily, verily. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, that's us, holy, beloved, that's us, put on tender mercies and kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, and I know y'all don't, you never do. I've never heard a complaint. Okay, I don't ever complain about anybody. Okay. I pause for effect. But anyway, bearing one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. I love that. We ought to forgive each other. It doesn't mean we condone sin. You know, I'm very open here about what sin is, whether it's politically correct or incorrect. I believe abortion is murder. I do not hate women that have had abortions. We do not hate women that had abortions. We do not blow up abortion clinics and shoot abortion doctors. Okay? That is just wrong. I believe homosexuality is a sin. We do not hate homosexuals. We love them and are for them, and Christ died for them. And if they want to come and receive Christ and repent and come out of their lifestyle, we will help them. But we're not mad at them. We don't hate them. Are you with me? I believe people ought to get married that are living together. I think living together is a sin. God doesn't hate you. We don't hate you. But marriage is a God thing, and you should get married. I mean, that's just... See, that's love. We don't condemn. That's not condemnation. That's a standard that we live by, that God has set, that we believe in, and we love the people. See, we hate sin, but we don't hate the sinner. I don't hate you if you lied this week. No, nobody in here has done that. I know that. I mean, I understand. We don't lie. I don't hate you if you gossip about somebody this week. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Don't hate you. But, you know, gossip's a bad thing. Don't be doing that, okay? Lying's a bad thing. Don't be doing that. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a standard. But we got to love. We got to put on the bond of perfection because every one of us has sinned. We got no stones to throw. I got no stones to throw. I got nothing. I've sinned too. You've sinned. We've all sinned. But I'm saying we don't have to. We can come out of it. We can quit that stuff. Woo! Okay. Message and I'll close out. This is the Message translation of Colossians 3:12 through 14. I think it's pretty neat. It says, "So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline." I love that. You know, I don't ever question when it's time to go to church what I'm supposed to wear. I wear what Brenna lays out there on the bed. I put the tie on. She says put on. I don't ever question that. She's the boss when it comes to the clothes I wear. I've learned that in 39 years we've been married. Two words. Yes, dear. Okay. I just put it on. And people say, "Man, I like that tie. Oh, that's a good-looking suit." I go, "Yeah, it is, isn't it?" You know, like I picked it out. I didn't even buy the thing. She bought it. I just put it on. And that's from having a wife and three daughters, too, because three daughters, they're the same way. What it is, I'm just completely, I'm intimidated by any kind of clothes at all. I'm afraid to put anything on because I've had three daughters and a wife that are constantly saying, "Oh, no. Oh, you're not wearing that. Oh, no, Dad, no, go back. Put another shirt on. You're not going out in public with that on, are you?" So I don't. I just don't do anything until they say, "Put this on." Solve the problem, okay? Message. "So chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you." God picked this out. And God knows more than you do. He is the fashionista around here, okay? God is. And the ultimate divine fashionista says that you need to put on compassion. It wears well. Kindness makes you look real good. Brings out the color in your skin, okay? Humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even tempered, content with second place. Oh my goodness. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It is your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. I love that. I think that is so cool. That's the Message translation. So, you know, let's just do these things and let's minister to others and let's think about others and live our life for others because that's what God wants us to do. Hey, He didn't just want to bless us. He wants to make a blessing out of us. Amen.